Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And Alistair, do you know what's in the air?
Coronavirus.
Oh, get over it.
Sorry.
It's love that's in the air.
Love.
Yes, love.
You meant love.
Of course I meant love. It's nearly Valentine's.
It's Valentinini's Day.
Or it's just been Valentine's, or it is actual Valentine's, depending on when you listen to this.
It means Jenny's back, right?
Yeah, it does. We got Jenny Collier out of her suspended animation box. Is it a box?
Is she in suspended animation or is she a tortoise who's been hibernating?
It's the same thing.
And what happened next, James?
The government banned us from keeping her as a pet.
She told us the story of...
Oh, yeah. Maxon Ledig. Welsh and Romance and Welsh Romance correspondent, Deputy Law Person Jenny Collier. Welcome back.
Hello. That's hello in Welsh.
Hello.
Hello. Bore da.
Prynhawn da.
Nos da. Cariad.
What are you saying? What's going on?
I said, hello, good night, friend. Oh, I should have said it in my friendly voice, my now patented friendly voice, which you probably don't know about, Jenny, and will frighten you.
I want to hear it.
Say cariad in the friendly voice.
Cariad!
So friendly.
So friendly.
Welcome back to the podcast, Jenny.
Welcome back, Jenny.
Thanks so much for having me back.
What's been happening? We've not heard from you for a full year.
It is a full year, isn't it? Well, I was here in Barnes last time I think I spoke to you. Really lovely area. There's swans on the roundabout.
Swans on the roundabout?
Yeah, yeah.
What, trapped there?
No, they're just like, they've got more authority than I have.
This is a sad, sad scenario you're describing. Do we have to explain what a roundabout is for American listeners?
A merry-go-round.
No, the traffic thing, a roundabout, the other kind of roundabout, because they just have crossings with lights, whereas we have more of a whee element to crossings.
A deferential sort of, oh no, of course, you sir. No, you sir.
Oh, I couldn't possibly. A left turn. Well, if you insist.
Oh, go on, take it. Well, me and Jenny are teaming up to tell you, Alistair, the tale of the dream of Maxon Ledig. What?
Is that the full name of it? Dream of Maxon Ledig. What?
Maxon Ledig.
You have to, at the end, you have to go slightly off mic and say, what?
What? It's right. I got that wrong, didn't I, Jenny?
Not that far off.
What's his name? Maxon Ledig.
Maxon Ledig. The L, it threw me because it's W-L-E.
Ledig.
Whereas I'm more used to an L coming quite far away from a W.
Maxon Ledig. I dreamt about this last night. I dreamt about doing this and I spoke, my sleep app picked me up saying Maxon, but I said Moxon. Yeah.
But in your sleep, you recorded yourself saying Maxon Ledig. What? You actually recorded that. That's incredible.
Do you know, have you heard of Maxon Ledig before?
I hadn't until this particular research session.
Had you heard of him, Alistair?
I'm not sure I have heard of him yet. No.
Do you want to guess what his job is? Just as a stab in the dark. You're not going to get
dig,
it.
Did he dig with wellies?
No.
Did he scoop out the earth with a welly dig?
No. He was the Emperor of Rome.
Was he?
Under the name Magnus Maximus.
Yeah. Well, if you'd given me his AKA, yeah.
As far as I can tell, that's Latin for Maximum Magnus.
Yeah.
And in Welsh, it's presumably Maximum Ledig.
Ledig is to do, like, Lord, like Maximum Lord.
Which is, I guess, the Emperor.
But also, doesn't Magnus also just mean, like, the most, like... Magnum.
The ice cream.
Yeah, so it means the most ice cream. He could have been called Top Solero, but they went with Maximum Magnus or whatever it was.
Maximum Magnums. He's like the...
It was just his order at the corner shop and it became his name.
What is Maximum Magnus? Eight? Between your fingers, that would be Maximum Magnums.
Yeah, probably. So who's this guy?
Gino Ginelli.
Archbishop Tutti Frutti.
He was the fairest, wisest, and comeliest man.
What?
I had to Google comely.
Yes.
And it just means fit.
Ah. In my translation of this, which comes from Myths and Legends of the British Isles by friend of the show, Richard Barber, the story starts for me, or for Richard, with Max and Reddig going hunting with 32 kings.
Yeah.
Sounds like an admin nightmare.
It points out that it was not for pleasure. He didn't go hunting for pleasure. He went hunting so he could meet these kings on level terms.
Okay.
He was trying to keep it real.
Exactly.
Because he was kind of higher rank. So he was like, do you know what? I'm just going to hang with some kings just to get some reality in my life because I'm just out of touch with the common man.
I'm not even a fan of hunting. I'm just doing it for the bants.
Just doing it for the king bants, keeping it real. But then he goes, I'm tired. I need to sleep. And so the kings, who are just his equals, just the common king, create like a little den for him out of shields, shafts of spears, and so he has a little lie down.
They build him a little nest, yeah, a little bower.
They hold their shields above him like a little, you know, just like how a normal guy has his friends do for him.
Yeah.
Like a little sort of a shield gazebo. Just like a normal guy.
Just one of the guys.
I don't know about your version, but it says in my version, they placed a gold shield under his head as a pillow.
Yeah.
You know, like a normal guy.
Just like a normal guy would.
Gold is a soft metal, but it's not pillow soft, is it? Pliant, but I wouldn't want to snuggle up on a golden shield.
And you would have thought it would reflect the heat because he wants to sleep because it's such a very hot and sunny day. You'd think the gold would just kind of fry his little head, but...
I'm just going to sleep on this metal plate. That's ridiculous.
I'm sure I won't have any weird dreams in this dehydrated state.
I'll just have a bit more cheese and then I'll go to sleep on a blazingly hot gold shield.
And did he have a dream, Jenny?
Did he have a dream?
And do we know this because his little sleep monitor app was running, recording the whole thing?
So he dreamt that he was travelling along the river, just near where they were, until he comes to a mountain that is the biggest mountain anyone has ever seen. And he looks at it and he's like, I'm pretty sure that reaches the sky because it's so massive.
But everything reaches the sky.
Exactly. Like, even the tiniest mountain reaches the sky.
They didn't know that at the time.
Sky technology was a lot more primitive.
Yeah, planes would have made this story a lot easier than it becomes.
As would gazebos.
Just standard pillows would have changed this a lot. When I read about sleeping on a golden shield, I did think, God, that sounds really kind of magical and dreamy.
It's decadent.
Yeah. If it could have a face hole.
Yeah, like a massage table.
And I could sleep on my front.
It'd be good as a shield pillow, but bad as a shield.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to.
Just poke you through the hole. That's more a donut.
Yes.
What you've invented is an expensive donut.
Like a hemorrhoid cushion. I think of my face as a kind of large hemorrhoid.
Last I heard, there was a mountain reaching up to the sky.
Yeah, as high as the sky.
And then on the other side of it, there's some of the fairest, levelest plains that a man has ever seen.
Ooh, comely.
Really comely, comely plains. The mightiest, largest rivers that anyone had ever beheld. And then he goes to the sea at the river mouth, and it's the widest anyone's ever seen, with a city at the mouth and a vast castle.
Vassal.
Or a vast castle.
Vassal.
And then he sees the biggest fleet of ships that anyone's ever seen. And in amongst those ships, the biggest ship that anyone's ever seen.
Yeah, he's not fact-checking at this point. I think he's just kind of trying to big his dream up.
Spoilers for guess what one of my categories for points is going to be. So the biggest ship is gold and silver. It's fastened to the shore by a whalebone bridge. And then he thinks that he comes onto the ship. And then he sees himself coming to the fairest island in the whole world. Now we're talking Wales.
Wales is even an island. The fairest in the whole world, is it?
Yeah.
How has he seen a lot of other places?
Yeah, but Wales is the fairest of them all.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't hear otherwise.
Far be it for me to argue with facts.
So there's lofty crags and rugged precipices that kind of made it so beautiful, or no one had ever seen before, how rugged and lofty it was.
It's a very colonizer attitude. He arrives in Wales and goes, no one has seen this country before. Like, maybe some Welsh people have, but nobody has seen a place as beautiful as this.
Maybe the people that built that castle have seen that castle before.
No one has seen a place as beautiful as that. No one has seen a castle as big as that.
Oh, said no one.
And then he traversed to the castle, and it was a really fair hall.
Oh, so fair. I've got a description of it here. Got the ceilings, gold, doors, gold, seats, gold, table, silver.
Yeah.
Walls, gems.
Oh. Precious gems, yeah.
You could sleep on pretty much anything in that place. Yeah.
Sounds quite tasteless.
Got to be hard to heat.
Oh.
High ceilings. Metal for everything's made of metal. Famously a conductor of heat.
You're going to want to put some cladding on then, gems, mate.
If anything, difficult to cool down, I would say.
It's hot in summer and cold in winter. It's the opposite of what you want.
Mm.
And then he sees two young lads. And this reminds me, when you hear how tasteless it is and that these two brothers... Did you see the Bros documentary?
Oh, yes.
That's what I'm picturing when
yes.
I hear this.
It says here they're all... Auburn. Is that posh for ginger?
Yeah. My dad's Auburn.
Posh for the dark end?
Yes.
And then the light end is the strawberry blonde.
People living in denial.
Flame boys. And they're playing a game called Gwyddbwyll.
Mm?
Some people erroneously translate it as chess, but it ain't.
Oh.
It's Gwyddbwyll, which translates literally as wood sense. Yeah.
So like it's a piece of wood.
Well, theirs is made of gold.
Of course it is.
And it's actually a type of gold, which is called red gold or ruddy gold.
Ruddy
and because
gold.
There's so many refri to how much golden stuff there is, they're like, and then that was made of ruddy gold. And then the ceiling is made of ruddy gold. And then they're playing Gwyddbwyll. Oh, the board was silver and the pieces were ruddy gold.
Ruddy gold. So wait a minute. I thought it meant like rose gold or something. It was quite in about 10 years ago, wasn't it, rose gold?
It was, yeah. Everything was made of rose gold.
I had a rose gold phone.
I had a rose gold pillow.
Gwyddbwyll is one of 24 feats of skill performed in medieval Wales.
Mm.
But it doesn't tell you what the other 23 are.
Oh.
But they were probably things like putting up a gazebo in a thunderstorm. Making a den out of shields. I haven't thought of any good ones, sorry.
Dealing with people taking the mickey out of the words because they sound like rude words.
The lads' garments were of pure black brocaded silk, frontlets of ruddy gold, holding their hair in place, whereupon were sparkling jewels of great price, rubies and gems. They're playing a board game and they're dressed up like that. It feels like Christmas Day, you know, when you've got your present, you've been given a present and you're like, well, I better wear it.
Yes.
And so they're like wearing all their Christmas jewels. They're wearing buskins of new Cadovan leather, which I don't know what that means, but it sounds like Freeman Hardy Willis of the 800 ADs.
I looked it up. Cordovan leather
is
horse leather, specifically from the bum.
You can see where.
It's horse bum leather. And you can see they rebadged it.
They didn't call it HBL, horse bum leather.
It's got that new horse bum smell.
Oh, my God. That's what they were wearing on their feet, with bands of red gold fastening them. So they were like the medieval Manolo Blahnik, because they're famously red, aren't they?
I don't Black know. Is that shoes?
I don't know. Oh, look at me pretending to know about fashion because I once saw Sex and the City in 2002.
Jimmy Choo. Sorry, I just thought of a name of a fancy shoe man. But we've got used to the fact that he makes shoes. And he's called Jimmy Choo.
I think he should make trains. So in this fair hall, beside a pillar, he sees a hoary-headed man in a chair of ivory with two gold eagles thereon.
Fairly tasteful by comparison with the rest of the room.
Well, he's covered in bracelets and rings and a golden diadem and a torque. So he's wearing his Christmas Day jewellery as well.
He's just done the cracker, though.
Wearing his Christmas Day jewellery has a little bit of an in his birthday suit kind of feel. Well, he was wearing his Christmas Day jewellery.
Do your robes up, King. We can see your Christmas Day jewellery.
Five gold rings. I would have said pimp gold rings.
Oh.
Never mind.
And then he's fashioning pieces for Gwyddbwyll out of ruddy gold. So he's been given a craft set for Christmas, and so he's doing it like
he's whittling away, whittling gold.
So all that's going on, and then Max and Weledig looks to the side, and he sees before him on a chair of, you guessed it, ruddy gold.
Yeah, was it just a cockney that ordered the decoration? I want this whole place done up in ruddy gold. I want ruddy gold walls, ruddy gold doors, ruddy gold clothes. Close your legs, King, I can see your Christmas Day jewellery. And that is not ruddy gold to me.
And on the ruddy golden chair, he sees a maiden. She's harder to look at than the sun on account of her beauty. She's wearing white silk with clasps of ruddy gold.
Yeah, long story short, ruddy gold. She's covered in ruddy gold.
And a surcoat of golden tissue, white silk. This sounds direct out of Tammy Girl in the 90s. Frontlets of red gold. Rubies, white gems. She was the most beautiful sight to behold. I think he's just a bit blinded by all the jewels and the gold. And the, I think she needs to do a no makeup selfie for him, no ruddy gold selfie.
Yeah,
to see if she's any easier to look at than the sun.
I like to imagine him making a small hole in a piece of paper and trying to focus an image of her on a piece of paper so he can safely look at her.
But he's like, she's the best thing I've ever seen. And so he embraces her and she embraces him back.
Probably clanks a little bit.
As he lumbers towards her, eyes closed, arms out. It's a bit much. But it is a dream, I've just remembered.
It's a dream. Mm. But they're cheek to cheek and then they sit back down in her on her little bench. And that's when the dogs start chafing.
Probably the ruddy gold would chafe as well.
Mm. And the shafts start shaking. There's shaft shaking. Oh, like Shake Shaft. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. And shield chafing, horses stamping and prancing. Wakes him up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just when it was getting to the good bit.
Just when he got cheek to cheek with the golden girl.
Just when he was getting his Christmas Day jewellery looked at. When he woke up, he couldn't breathe or exist because of the maiden.
He couldn't breathe or exist. Yeah. Yeah. This guy is a toddler. He's emotionally, he's a toddler. I can't breathe or exist.
And it says, not a bone joint, not the root of a fingernail, let alone anything larger, which I think they're trying to talk about.
His CDJ.
What's CDJ?
Christmas Day jewellery.
Yeah.
So it's trying to say that every bit of his body is turgid.
Yeah.
He is rigid with love. And so he says to his retinue, no, his retinue say to him, wouldn't you love to have a retinue? I only found out what retinue is recently.
I always like in Shakespeare when the Queen arrives with her train, because it's kind of funny.
Jimmy Choo.
Yeah, Jimmy Choo. Oh, it's the Queen.
I'm not going anywhere without my retinue and my chafing dogs.
I thought you meant like his feet were hurting when people said my dogs are barking. When you said that the dogs were chafing, I thought you meant that. It was like, oh, I've been on my feet for hours. I've had a quick sit on the bench.
My hush puppies are chafing away.
My horse bum leather. I haven't worn it in.
And so his retinue are like, it's time gone for you to eat, because they can tell he's bad vibes and they think he's just hangry. So they're like, let's get you some food then. And so the emperor mounts his palfrey, which is a horse that is free of pals. No friends. That horse has no friends. And he gets on his palfrey and he is the saddest man that anyone has ever seen.
Mm.
Again, unprecedented sad man.
I think he's labelling himself that as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
In his MO.
And he goes back to Rome and he just puts his out of office on for like a week. He's not talking to anyone.
What my mum would say is he sulked. He had a big sulk.
Yeah.
About this thing. And every time he went to eat or drink, because everything, because he was the emperor, everything was made of gold. And he'd be like, oh, it reminds, oh, no. Reminds me of her. Because he's fallen in love. What's happened here is he's fallen in love with the girl of his dreams.
Of course. Yeah.
But
yes.
She is actually the girl of his dreams.
But she's Welsh, which is the problem.
And that's also a problem. Mm. Well, he doesn't even know that yet.
No, sorry, spoilers.
No, yeah.
The thing is, one of his court comes up to him and says, look, here, I quote directly, Lord, all the people revile you.
Wow.
And he says, why do they revile me? And it's like, well, because no one can speak to you. You've been sulking for a week. I'm now paraphrasing. And the emperor says, kid, bring me the wise men of Rome and I'll tell them. And presumably, and then he does, and he tells all these wise men, I'm really upset because I dreamt about a beautiful girl. And they, for some reason, take this seriously. And in essence say, send out some people to find her then. Go on.
They're like, do you know what? There are only three areas of the world. So why don't we take a year on each? And then that way, if we give it 3 years, you know, that's going to be a if nothing else, a fun game of hope for 3 years. Hope will sustain you. So that 1 year goes by where they've done one area. Then they come back and he's like, oh, gutted that we're no closer to my maiden. And then so he sends them off to the second direction for another whole year. And then they come back and still nothing. And he's saddened again. And then eventually someone says to him, why don't you begin hunting where you were in the dream? Why don't you just go in the direction that you saw with your own eyes?
Yeah.
So after two whole years, the emperor goes, oh, yeah.
That way. It's probably that way.
And so he goes to the beginning point with the hunt. And he's like, oh, that massive river. Oh, that's the one. So he sends off 13 men. Unlucky for some, in the direction he went. And then they put their sleeves of the cape to the front to show they were messengers in order to have no harm done to them. What I'm picturing is, do you remember when you used to do that thing where you'd put one hand in your jumper belly and then you'd get the two the two sleeves together with one hand and then you'd do that thing?
What's that thing?
You would pump your arms down and your hand would come up in the middle of your chest.
Exactly.
Like an alien chest burster.
Yeah, yeah.
Creating a humorous visual effect.
That's what I'm picturing the messengers doing.
So that's what they did to indicate that they were messengers. Yeah. Like, oompa, 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 were messengers.
It's fine, we're just messengers.
Yeah.
They're texting with their third hand.
They went, behold, look at that mountain. That looks like the same mountain that he talked about. And they were like, this is the land our Lord saw. And then they saw the castle, they saw the boat, and all of these were like the biggest or the fairest or the goldest that they'd ever seen. So they were like, this must be the one that Maxon's on about, Maximus Magnum's on about.
Maximum Magnums. Eight.
Eight.
Just the maximum number of Magnums that you could carry.
Yeah.
One time would be eight in each of the finger. Oh, no, it's six, because I don't think you could do the thumbs. Just in the gaps between your fingers, sort of like Wolverine. You're like a chocolate Wolverine. Anyway.
Yeah, that's six. That's
carry
six.
On.
And one in the mouth, maybe.
And then they cross over to Eryri, which is in Wales. And then they see the rugged terrain and they're like, we're getting warmer, warmer, warmer still. And then they see the two lads. They see Bros in their tasteless hall, a hoary-headed man. And then they behold the maiden and they're like, here we go. And so they go, Empress of Rome. And she's like, nobleman, I can see from your fists in your jumpers that you are...
the thing you're doing.
You bear the badge of messengers. I can see by your oompa stomachs that you are noblemen.
Hold your swords, they mean us no harm. Regard the oompa oompa thing they do with their jumpers. They bring word from Rome.
And so, but because they said Empress of Rome, she's like, why are you mocking me? And they say, lady, we're not mocking you. The Emperor of Rome saw you in his sleep and he can neither live nor breathe nor exist.
It's incredible considering 2 years has passed.
2 years.
2 years of not living, breathing or existing.
And they said, either come to be crowned empress or the emperor will come to you to take you as his wife. So it's up to one of the two.
Oh, great. So there's options for her then.
You can either come with us and get married or stay there and get married.
Yeah.
Nice that they brought her into the decision-making process.
And then she said, nobleman. And then she kind of half did believe them, half didn't believe them. But what she did want was, if he is the man who loves her, then let him be the one to say it. But I know exactly how she'd have said it, because in Carnarvon there is a phrase which is, do you got something to say to me, yeah? Say it to my face, yeah? That was her message back. And they went back to the emperor and they were like, we know her name, which is more than you did, mate. We know her family and her lineage. And the emperor's like, sweet. So they set out again Oh, and they took the island by force.
Oh.
Which...
It's kind of a mixed blessing.
Yeah, I don't think there was any need for that, really. Nope. It seemed like it was all going to plan, but then...
Well, they probably forgot to do the umpa umpa jumper thing, and then once the fight started, they just rolled with it. It's like when you're trying to play stealthily in a video game and you get seen, and you're just like, ah, forget it. Bang, 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 bang. I'll just kill everyone then.
Yeah, so they do that. They take it by force from Belly, son of Manogan, who I think we talked about in a previous... Mabinogi. And then they get there and they see Conan, son of Adaf, and Gadeon, son of Adaf, playing Guðbrol.
Is that Bros?
Yeah. So they say, yeah. So we finally learn Bros's names. Mm. And Adaf, son of Caradog, which is the guy with his Christmas jewellery out. And with his kimono and legs akimbo. And then the emperor goes and embraces the woman. And then it says, so I recently got Mabinogi on especially. And it says...
all the branches.
All franchise, yeah.
The Wales extended universe.
That on one source, it says, they embraced... And the emperor says, Empress of Rome. And that night they became man and wife. In my Mabinogion book that I've just recently got, it says, they embraced. And he said, Empress of Rome. And that night he slept with her.
Oh.
And so it's just much more like they banged. Early the next day, the maiden claimed her maiden fee, which is also known as the morning gift. Since... he had found her to be a virgin. So she was like, you owe me big time.
Told ya.
Oh, right. So there's like an extra bonus for that, is there? Okay.
So he was like, just tell me what you want. And so she's like, okay, I'll just have the Isle of Britain for my dad and then three adjoining islands. And then if you could build me three major forts as well, one preferably in Arvon, which is where she's living. So he's like, yep. And then he gets some soil from Rome so that he can be healthier.
Is he a vampire?
Oh my God, you both said that in perfect unison.
I'm sorry.
And then they had two other forts in Caerllion and Caerfyrddin. And then it gets less romantic.
Oh, also roads I have here as well. It's like all that and also roads.
Oh, yeah, a load of roads named after her. So they're like the roads of Helen Llywelyn.
Roman roads were called Helen's roads in some sort of past time slang.
Oh, right.
Oh,
because of
they?
This, yes. Yeah.
And so was that her name in the end, Helen? Did
Helen,
I miss that?
Yeah, it turns out she's called Helen, but like that's not important.
I went to like, school with like nine Helens. It's not a very mystical name.
Helen says, if you're going to say anything, say it to my face. Thanks, Helen.
But she really, that is a big morning gift. Like I would normally just be like coffee and a pan of raisin. That would do me like... and don't tell anyone. So that's the end of the romantic bit.
Yes. It's happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's.
What would you say the moral of the story was? If you can imagine it, you can do it if you're also the Emperor of Rome.
Yeah, be the change you want to see in Wales.
The moral is just cover yourself in bling and you will find a man.
Yes.
Ruddy gold.
What a romantic story.
Happy Dydd Santes Dwynwen.
You're going to score us then, Alistair?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to pass judgment, yes.
Right, Jenny, as your lawyer, I'm saying lawyer, but I'm saying law in it, but it's very hard to tell because
really
it's
good.
The same word.
That works really well.
I advise you, let's do the classics first. Let's get Supernatural out of the way now.
Yeah.
First cat, Supernatural.
Have you got a pitch, Jenny, for that?
Please.
The dream. So it's so accurate to like the degree of what kind of diadem someone's wearing in their hair.
Mm.
It's like the ultimate in, oh, my girlfriend goes to another school, you wouldn't know her, to it actually is all as he said, but he dreamt it.
Mm.
I mean.
Mm.
It is a prophetic dream. And that is magic.
That's a kind of magic.
I can't argue with that.
And that I spoke of it in my dream last night.
And you also dreamed of it. It entered your dream.
Mm.
So that's two supernatural occurrences. That's two incredible prophetic dreams. I feel like I'm being drawn. I dreamed of a number two fashioned of ruddy gold last night.
Oh, right. Like the figure number two, right?
Like
okay.
The figure, like the Arabic numeral, not...
Okay.
Not a number two.
Made of gold.
Yes. Not a ruddy gold turd, James.
Not what happens the day after you eat at Salt Bay's restaurant.
Oh, I've got another supernatural.
Okay.
He could neither live nor breathe nor exist, and yet he did.
Okay.
For 2 years.
I mean, I don't know if being a massive whinger is supernatural.
Maybe he is a vampire, though, because he did...
Oh, he had the soil.
Because vampires...
He needed the soil.
Yeah, he needed the soil like a vampire did, who played Nosferatu... Max Shrek.
Oh, Max Shrek.
Means the most amount of Shrek. I think I've got off topic. And that is an ogre.
And Gary and Oldman means the garriest old man. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I didn't understand that line of argument at all, so I'm going up to three, and that's my final offer.
Yeah, I didn't either. Okay, I think we better take that and run.
Yeah, I'll have that.
So two, and again, as your lawyer, play the Welsh card.
Yeah.
Alistair, category two, naming.
I didn't really like the names.
Oh, play that Welsh.
Weledig, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Maxen Weledig. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the game Gwyddbwyll or Cordor van Leather.
Horse Bum Leather. Yeah, that's a better name.
Yes, it's a better name than Horse Bum Leather, yeah.
We've got Beli, son of Manogun, Hunan, son of Adaf, Gadeon, son of Adaf, Adaf, son of Caradoc.
Caradoc. I've definitely recognised these lads from previous Mabinogi stories.
And then also the two forts, the three forts, Arfon, Caerllion, and Caerfyrddin.
All right.
So if you could give us less than five, but also say those names.
I'm prepared to give you 4 out of 5 for names, but you can't keep playing the old Welsh sounds funny angle with me, Sonny Jims.
Not saying it sounds funny, I'm saying it sounds Welsh.
There's no argument here. I'm giving it 4 out of 5 purely because one of the characters is called Maximum Magnums.
Gino, Gino, Ginelli, Eskrimo, Piazza, Italia, Mint, Chalk Chip.
Ticcagino, home are you?
Third category is the most blank anyone has ever seen.
And this story was the most blank I have ever heard.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So the tallest mountain.
Tallest mountain, biggest boat.
Yeah. Nicest Helen.
Biggest virgin fee.
I've never heard of such a pricey virgin.
Most exposed Christmas jewellery.
Horse with the fewest pals.
Horse with the least bottom skin.
Yeah, horse bummest leather.
That's the biggest number of kings I've seen on one sort of work away day, doing one paintball session. It's like, hey, we're all friends, it's first names.
All our first names are King.
Yeah, I think this is it's the most five category I've ever heard.
Yes, the fiviest.
Yes.
Good work.
So what's the final category?
The final category is ruddy gold.
Oh, ruddy bloody gold.
It's 5 out of 5. I can't.
It's a ruddy five.
It's 4 out of 5 for ruddy gold.
Ruddy
you can't
gold.
Move for ruddy gold in that place.
And the thing is, there's no spoilers in the title or even the first few paragraphs because it's like, oh, it's a dream that a man has about a beautiful woman. But actually the story is like, I'm all golded out by the end of the story.
Mm. Learn a new metal.
Yeah, there's a table made of silver over there. Yes, what are the chairs made from? Well, gold, but there's one ivory one in the corner. Yeah. Don't look over there, though. Good God.
That was a great story. Jenny, thank you for being our Welsh correspondent once again.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
Is there anything you'd like to plug to the law folk who listen?
I would love to plug a show I'm doing in Leicester, the Leicester Comedy Festival, if you have any Leicester listeners. Leicesterners. I'm doing it on the 20th of February, which is the week after Valentine's Day. So we should have all recovered from all the loving. I will have just been normal.
It's a couple of days away. You've still got time to get tickets, no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. And it'll be online as well on Next Up, I guess.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so even if you can't make it to Leicester, you can still enjoy the show.
Exactly.
And what's the title of your show, Jenny?
Jenny Collier Untitled.
You are famous for your puns, and I'm going to pretend I get that one.
It might be called Work in Progress, and it might be called Jen at Work.
Oh, that's good.
With a Men at Work sign.
That's nice. That's best.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much. Happy Valentine's Day to you too. And you, the listener.
Have we got a live stream coming up?
We do.
On the 24th of February.
Sounds good.
Great. It's a date. Join us. And if you want to support Lawmen, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/lawmenpod, or write us a review.
A nice one, please.
Yeah, we complained a few weeks ago about a guy giving us a 3-star review.
Yeah.
And he lowered it to a 1-star review.
Yeah.
Well played.
Touché.
Cool. I hope I didn't monopolise too much, because we're meant to both be telling it. And I feel like loads of the time I was like, and then,
no, that's the whole
then.
Point.
No, that's the whole point. It's to be honest, it's the guest tells it, but if there's like...
Often they arrive with no preparation.
Yeah, some don't do any prep. So I tell the story and then they say, yeah, I live near there.